This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Rappaport to the rescue with award-winning animal advocate, best-selling author, journalist, and pet products creator, Jill Rappaport.
Hi, I'm Jill Rappaport, and welcome to Rappaport to the Rescue. Well, as we all know, it is the year of the horse. And as a proud pet parent to four of these magnificent, majestic creatures, I can tell you firsthand, there is nothing like having a horse in your life. And I really feel so blessed to be lucky enough to have them with me at all times. Every day when I look out onto the pastures, just watching them makes me so happy and really at peace. Now, this happens to be the year of the fire horse, which is very rare because the last time we had this celebration was 60 years ago. So, folks, this will not happen again until 2086. So you better rejoice and take notice. This is a special one. And speaking of horses, our guest today is a huge horse lover with two of her own. Plus, she is also a fellow ambassador for Horses for Mental Health, which kicks off again in May. And in the country music world, she is one of the sizzling artists soaring right to the top. Allie Colleen is a singer-songwriter whose impeccably strong voice is rooted in timeless tradition, but with a fresh young take on country music, which has given her the title Artist to Watch by People Country. So when we come back, we will be catching up with Allie, and hopefully I'll get her to sing one of the songs that I love, which is appropriately called Back in the Saddle. So you know I'll be asking her to belt that one out. Stay tuned.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Rappaport to the Rescue. I'm Jill Rappaport, and boy, are you going to love our guest today. This singer has the voice of an angel with a little rock, a little country, and a whole lot of sensation. Allie Colleen has such a strong, unique voice, and she is known for silencing a room with heartfelt stories of love and heartbreak. And she's written some of the most incredible songs that truly will resonate in your hearts. Allie Colleen, I'm so excited to have you here, and I'm looking at you with this fabulous guitar behind you, and you're in Nashville. You have put me in the mood for singing, girl.
Hello, honey. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm so happy to have you and to meet you. You are such a young singing sensation, only 29 years old, and you're soaring right to the top.
Thank you for saying only 29. People keep acting like 30s are spooky or something. I am the happiest age I've been in my whole life, I can tell you that.
What has this journey been like for you? Because it looks pretty quick that you've achieved this success.
Oh, man, oh, man. I mean, it has been so consistent and such a fun time. I'll be honest, I don't feel like we're as good at celebrating things as we should be, because it's often moments like this when people want to talk about, you know, maybe what we've been able to achieve or what we've done, and we're just like, I don't know, we got stuff to do tomorrow. Like, we got stuff to do, okay? So it is cool to kind of take a second and look back at it, but I've been doing this for 12 years in Nashville.
Well, and when you consider 12 years ago when you were in your teens, and a couple years ago, you were on the road with Jelly Roll. Does it get better than that?
Man, it hasn't yet. I can tell you that. It hasn't yet. We were so privileged to be on that tour, though, and everybody on it was so kind to us, and it was so fleeting. We did 20 cities in 28 days, and it was over like that, and it was the coolest thing we've ever done.
What did he teach you? What impact did he have on you and your career?
You know, Jelly taught me a lot about how I would like to run a tour in the future if I was lucky enough to, you know, to get to do that kind of thing. I love the way that he supports independent artists, you know, because he had Alexandra Kay out before me, and she's independent as well. And so just really grateful because, you know, Nashville's just popping, dude, with like the greatest young, middle aged, everyone. Like, you can find anything you're looking for here in Nashville. And the fact that he liked something that we got going on was pretty special for us.
Have you kept in touch with him?
I think Jelly gets a new phone like every 2 weeks or something. I don't think anyone can keep up with Jelly. And I respect it. I get it. But no, I ain't gonna line for Jelly no more.
It's been a pretty quick meteoric rise for you, hasn't it?
I don't know, because we're not a viral kid. You know what I mean? And that seems like the most overwhelming overnight change in your life is to have, you know, something that's significantly viral going on out there. And there's a couple artists who have came out of that. I think Priscilla Block was like the trailblazer of the viral kids as far as TikTok goes. So we haven't had anything like that. But I mean, we work every single day nonstop. And it's honestly, it's to the artists that would go, oh man, what I would do to have the career that you have, what would you do? Actually, I can't tell you how much we're playing for free still. I can't tell you how much we're just, and it's like the coolest gig on the planet. You know what I mean? But I do think we've been getting our hands dirty. We've been working really, really hard. And the payoff has been so consistent.
I love how you keep saying we.
Yeah. We just kind of, I mean, I'm not anything without the whole team. You know what I mean? And you got to invest in people and you got to let people invest in you. And we're just really proud of what we've been able to do so far. But hopefully we haven't even notched the ladder yet.
Well, you're very diversified also. You got a little rock, a little country, a lot of soul.
Yeah.
Tell me about your style and why it was so important to incorporate a lot of styles within who you are.
I'm a big sensory kid. I feel like I didn't have the easiest time communicating when I was younger, and I used music to do that, you know, kind of thing. And I loved the stories that were coming out of country music. I always have. I mean, the narratives that country music covers, I think, are the coolest things on the planet, especially, you know, sometimes even like politically or just culturally. I feel like country music has really tried to take things head on sometimes. And so I wanted to be in that writing space. You know, I wanted to be able to write about narratives and people's lives and how it affected people. But I've only ever wanted to sound like Three Days Grace or like Evanescence or like Ashley McBride when she does her tougher, you know, kind of rock stuff. And so we're trying to find our world in our sound. You know, we're really trying to keep the narrative about the cowboy and rodeo and all those things that we love so much. But we need subs at our shows. You need to be able to feel what we're doing. So we're kind of in a weird space, but everyone's been really kind about it so far.
And not only to have and been blessed with an incredible voice, but you have the ability to write these songs and you've penned such beautiful lyrics, you know, coming from your heart and soul.
Thank you. It's a privilege. I mean, and it's crazy. I think, I don't know, I guess there's two ways to see songwriting. You either see songwriters as really selfless or really selfish, but either way, for me, it really is a selfish thing. I just grew up just writing about myself and just didn't have a care in the world for anybody outside of me and just wrote stories about me to try and communicate to people. And then you play those songs for people and they're like, is that about me? And I'm like, no, bro, it's about me. But it's such a cool way to connect to people that I didn't expect. I was like, no, they're writing about you at all. And you sit here and it's just a really cool way to connect just people's lifelines with just their experiences and, you know, what they've taken from their time here. And it's such a privilege. And then Nashville helps a lot, being able to be in Nashville. And I got a degree in songwriting, whatever that means. It was a blast.
Yeah. And who are some of your influences have been in your life? I mean, you started when you were so young.
I grew up with parents that really, really value education and have been privileged enough to provide it for all of their children. So we had to go to college kind of thing. So I chose my college when I was in eighth grade. I didn't look anywhere else. I said, I'm going to move to Nashville. I'm going to get a degree in songwriting. I'm going to start playing in bars as soon as I get there. I'm going to do this thing. I mean, I started writing when I was 8 years old, I think. I was not very good, but I was still trying to write songs at 8 years old.
That's unbelievable. 8 years old?
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's what I care about the most. And it's what makes sense to me. And it's kind of how I'm wired and love to do it. So I think, and I was very privileged in my time in the late 90s and early 2000s of country music. I didn't realize that artists weren't writing their stuff all the time. So who I would credit as writers, forgive me, they might not even be the writers of the song. I don't know. I know Jody Messina wrote a lot on most of her projects. So I'm a huge Jody Messina fan as far as when it comes to what I listened to when I was little. I thought the narratives that Randy Travis chose were like the coolest songs on the planet. I'm not sure if he wrote them or not, but and I wasn't good at looking in the back of a CD to like see who the credits were. I was just like, I want to write stuff like that. So I'm not like an eclectic music educated person. I just love this so much and I've worked at it for a really long time.
But writing music at 8 years old, what do you write about then? Like, I want candy? What are your thoughts and feelings at 8 years old that you're
sometimes
actually getting into song?
Well, I think that was what was so surprising to me was I didn't feel like, I mean, yeah, It's funny that you say that because I don't know what it was like. Or I just did it. I just wrote it and I thought that I was mature enough to do it. And I thought I was writing about mature stuff. Who knows if I was or not. But I do remember my first write that I had in Nashville when I was probably 21 or 22 and the girl was 14 or 15 who was brought in to write with me. You know what I mean? And wow. I remember looking at her like, what are we going to do? And I remember talking to her about like, there was a food that was kind of a, you know, just an older, mature physical relationship song that we were working with other co-writers who were my age. And then there was this 14-year-old. And I was like, dude, have you ever just had food that like blew your mind? She goes, yeah. I said, that's kind of what we're writing about today. She goes, cool. And she hung with us all day. And she wrote the same thing. She explained like a perfect dinner the same way I would explain a perfect date. You know what I mean? I was like, we're not that different.
You have been in there doing it on your own and really wanting to make sure that you do it the right way, whether it comes with getting a paid gig or just working for free. You really have been in the trenches from the very beginning.
It's just a privilege. I know people who are just kind of wondering what they want to do, you know, in their late 30s or their early 40s. And I think having a dream has been such a privilege. And it's just working towards this and doing this my whole life. It's been nothing but a reward. You know what I mean? I mean, there's been really hard days. There's been stuff that's you know, not been awesome. But I don't know. I'm just really, really grateful for it. And, you know, I had this conversation yesterday. I don't believe in the, if you love what you do, you don't work a day in your life. I be working. We be working. Okay. There are some days that just suck. We get it. But man, oh man, to have any kind of semblance of like, I get to wake up every day and the hardest thing I have to do is my dream. I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be okay.
And to achieve that dream and to know you've actually experienced what you want to do for the rest of your life at 29 years old, that in itself is a gift and a blessing.
It is a blessing. It's a huge blessing. It never feels like what you think it will because you're still expecting stuff out of yourself. You know what I mean? And that's been really cool. It's been really cool to see what I thought my dream was continue to grow the closer that we get, you know, to these certain little staples that we have in our career. So I don't know what next year looks like or the year after that, but we're so proud.
Well, I'll tell you, not only am I blown away by your voice, but I just saw a video of you that I found to be so precious where you are lying on the back of your horse and you were there for, I believe, over an hour. And it was totally zen for you.
It is my happy place. It is my happy place. My boys are so sweet. I have the best two boys on the planet. I have Jack and Einstein. They're probably about, they're getting closer to 15 years old, 15 or 16 years old. And they're so good. And one of them is a better bareback rider than the other. Einstein can't calm down. So this one was Jack that day. And Jack is my bareback boy. And we do. I get on him and I sit the opposite way that you should. And I put my head on his butt and he just does his thing all day. And it's my first thing I do when I get home from like a long run, if we're lucky enough to be, you know, gone for, you know, 7 to 9 days or longer than that kind of thing. It's the first thing I do when I come home.
Oh, it was such a precious video. And like me, you are also an ambassador for Horses for Mental Health. And we know truly firsthand, Allie, what these majestic creatures give to us. I know just by looking out onto the pasture, I immediately feel my blood pressure go down. They are just such wonderful creatures to have in our lives, aren't they?
They're so special. I was lucky enough to grow up around horses. And if growing up in Oklahoma, if you didn't have horses, someone had horses in the sense of like they weren't this foreign thing to you. And I can't tell you how many of my friends I've watched in their late 20s, early 30s meet a horse for the first time here in Nashville. And it's the coolest thing I think I've ever experienced. Like horses were just what they were when I was a little kid. I can't imagine meeting one of those guys in the middle of my life. They're like big dinosaurs. This has been really cool. Like I said, just to see people, like meet them. Like my drummer always wants to come over anytime I'm bathing them. He's like, can I come over and do the car wash thing with your horses? I'm like, yes, you can. You can come over and do the car wash thing with the horses. He gets so excited.
So you probably learned to ride before you could walk.
We were a trail riding family. So we didn't do any kind of competitions or anything. My middle sibling for a while did the equestrian jumping, you know, classes for maybe a year or two kind of thing. But we were just a saddle them up, go ride on the property kind of family. And then we would ride them to this little campfire site that we had. And we'd build a fire and we'd do our thing for the night and we'd ride them back. And it was so cool.
And you've incorporated your love of horses into your music.
They're one of the coolest, maybe genres aren't as important as they used to be kind of thing when it comes to music, but that is kind of our biggest, you know, archetype that we still have in country music is the cowboy and horses and stuff like that. And to get to write about women the way that you would write about horses is really, really cool. And to see the way that, especially when you get in the room with co-writers and you start talking about horses, like some of my favorite co-writers are horse people too. You know what I mean? Because we are going to write about horses and we're going to write about women and we're going to write about whiskey, all a little bit the same. And I think that that's a really cool thing about like the horse community here in Nashville. So very privileged to have people in music and horses. That's a cool world.
And we should also mention, you know, you're a huge animal lover. You also have a deep love for dogs.
Dogs make the world go round. I love dogs. I have a really special relationship with dogs. Outside of music, I have worked in vet clinics my whole life as just an assistant to an assistant for the most part. So I've been an assistant vet tech my whole life, which ends up with a lot of the crappy jobs, to be honest. But one of the coolest things was I was really surprised when I worked in vet clinic of how many people would come and they would surrender their dogs should their dog become terminal or really sick or just honestly any kind of inconvenience. They would just surrender their dogs. And so I worked for a long time in the hospice dogs where I would either home the hospice dog and find a family who just wanted to support it and make it comfortable until it, you know, went on, or they would come live with me. So I did hospice dogs for a long time. It's where Evangeline Records comes from. It's where our record label and our LLC comes from, is my first dog that I did that with. But I love dogs.
You also have a pet python that is your other soulmate in your life.
He is my whole world. I don't think I expected to feel this way about a snake. I've had snakes growing up. My family does wildlife rehabilitation in Oklahoma. So we've had snakes and we've had them and I've always loved them. But Michael's my little man, dude. I love that snake so
much. How big is little Michael?
Little Michael is about four or 5 months old. So he's long. He's all of like probably 2 feet. Like he's long. But he's just like that wide. Like he's little. I love him so much.
On that sweet snake note, I would be remiss if I ended this interview without getting a little sample of some of your beautiful songs. And you know the one I love, Back in the Saddle.
Oh, I'd be happy to.
I'd love it. You're easy. This is great.
All I do is sit around and wait on someone to ask me to sing. That's literally all I do. I'm just like, anyone going to ask me to sing yet? Jeez Louise.
Oh, and all I do is ask people to do things. So this is a perfect match.
So Back in the Saddle, I want to be honest with you. I wrote it with my little brother and it's two chords and a tuning that I don't know. I could figure it out for you, but I don't think it'd be very good. But I do have another little country song. I have a horses song if you'd like another horses song.
Oh, okay.
And this one you can't find anywhere, so hopefully you'll like it, and it can be something special, because I don't know what we're going to do with it yet.
Are you debuting it here first on Rappaport to the Rescue?
I am debuting it here first, but I also don't know if we're ever going to debut it in real life, so we're like debuting something that could be a secret forever, you know what I mean? Because I don't know what we're going to do with this song, if we're going to do anything with it, but it will live here with us forever, for sure. So that's your debut. It's called Cowboys It Gets, you guys. It goes like this.
Wide open, like that sky out on the plains. Hard up on that saddle, it's as golden as the grain. Tis flowing, wherever that wind blows. Rolling like a tumbleweed with lightning in them bones. Running down a hard range, just howling at the storm. Come within the bar by a rugged tough rock to the horn. Hunting down wild horses with those red fingers soaking wet. You catch them yet. That girl's his cowboy. Let me warn you, she ain't looking to be tamed. Leather's gonna burn ya if you try and take the reins. No fences, those no lovers' law. When it comes to her freedom, she'll pay the even cost. Running down a hard place, to howling at the storm. Stronger than the bar by a rugged tough right to the core. Running down wild horse, with those red anchors soaking wet, she'll catch them yet. Throws this cowboy eyes again. Seal your heart, so I've abandoned. spirit echoes through the canyons, running down a hard rain to hell and at the door. Stronger than the barbed guitar brought to the floor. Running down wild horses with those wranglers soaking wet. She'll get some, yeah. That girl's his cowboy as again. Cowboy as again.
Well, cowboy song.
That was amazing. What do you mean you don't know what you're going to do with that song? Of course you've got to record it.
I don't know. There's a couple artists I would really love to cut it, but we'll see.
Well, you deserve all the success that you've achieved, and I know so much more is coming your way. Ellie Colleen, you are fabulous. I loved our time together, and you're going to love this.
Today, March 2nd, happens to be International Rescue Cat Day. So, of course, we have our wonderful cat correspondent, Deborah Cripps, on assignment to fill us in on all the latest feline news. Stay tuned.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets
on Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Cat Chat with Deborah Cribbs, founder of the Give Them 10 movement.
Welcome back to Rappaport to the Rescue. I'm Jill Rappaport, and so excited now that we're heading into spring, and I can't think of a more beautiful place to go back to than the Cincinnati Zoo. Now, you know we've been there the last couple months with our cat correspondent, Deborah Cribbs. And Deborah, we have learned so much about cats and other animals and what's going on with wildlife from you. What are you going to tell us today?
We are here again, Jill, with Dr. Lindsay Van Zandt at the Crew Center. And Lindsay, as I love to talk about, is the director of imperiled cats for this research center. Now, the key word this month, happy March, by the way, Jill.
Thank you.
The key word is research. We have done together, we have funded, Dr. Lindsay and her team have done the work to come up with what will hit the market someday, non-invasive spay for female cats. We're very excited about that. But what else have we done? We have funded other studies with Dr. Lindsay and her team, and I want her to tell you some of these studies because they're super interesting. Lindsay?
Absolutely. I do, before I jump into that, do want to just take a moment to say thank you to the Give Them 10 and Joni Bernard Foundations. You guys have supported our work. We've been able to expand what we do and take what we're learning with wild cats and then apply it to domestic cats. And so I'd like to talk about a study we did with clicker training. So this is a form of what we call operant conditioning with positive reinforcement. So just think, give lots of treats, do a behavior, I'll give you lots of treats. And this is something we do in zoos. We do it because it's enriching for the animals. It helps build that animal-human bond, and it builds a lot of confidence. So we thought, could this be a tool we can use in shelters to help build up their confidence? So what we did is we took a group of cats and we clicker trained them for 6 weeks. So just work very basic behaviors. And at the end, we compared them to the cats that didn't get trained. We found 75% of the cats that were trained showed an increase in positive behaviors and more affiliative behavior towards humans.
Okay, that's a big deal. Now, why is that a big deal to us? Because we want them in a shelter environment to be easily adoptable.
Absolutely.
So I'm hearing you say that this training helps these cats be more conditioned to be around humans, therefore be more easily adoptable.
Yeah, I think comfort around humans is one of the best proxies we have for adoptability. And again, clicker training is easy, it's cheap, and what an easy way with now evidence behind it to show us simple change, reduce stress, increase that adoptability.
I love that. when we started this program a couple years ago, we challenged Dr. Lindsay. We said, what kind of studies can you do that's not just for scientific pursuit, but to actually help the shelter environment?
Yeah.
And they thought long and hard and came up with a couple of studies. Tell us about another one.
Okay, let's talk about double compartment housing. So this is really based on the foundation by Dr. Kate Hurley, who's at the UC Davis Shelter Medicine Program. And so what they've been advocates for is giving cats two spaces that are interconnected versus just a single cage. And the importance of that is then these key activities, you know, eating, drinking, sleeping, they can be performed somewhere other than when you're performing your litter box activities, which I think inherently makes sense to all of us, right? That you kind of want separate living spaces for that. And so this was led by another veterinarian on my team, Dr. Julie Barnes, and she used some pretty fun tools. So we put Fitbits into the collars of these cats so we could monitor their activity level. And we also had an RFID chip, and that allowed us to know exactly in their space where they were located. And then we also looked at hormones to look at stress levels. And we found that cats in double compartment housing had lower stress hormones, and they would spend far less time in their litter box. Meaning, to us, that's really good indications of improved animal welfare. So again, if we could reduce stress, we can make them happier, they're gonna be more adoptable.
In this case, they absolutely proved it, that in a shelter environment, hopefully not for very long, just measured in days, not weeks or months, the cats are less stressed in a double compartment environment. Less stressed cats get adopted more easily, and that's what we want.
We have this need. We want to save them all. And historically, shelters, you know, you go into a shelter and there's just a cat in every corner, and we think that's giving them the best care. But in reality, if we give them that space, if we make them happy and healthy, the cats get adopted more quickly. And in a year, you're going to move more cats through and get them more adopted because they're not all shoved and tight in there. So I think it's also, again, a scientist point of view that I think evidence is really important to inform the decisions that we make.
You heard it here first, Jill. Just incredible news. And my hope and dream is that what you are doing at the Cincinnati Zoo will be educating the world. We need to know this everywhere so that everyone everywhere can be doing what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a platform like this is so great that we get to share with a wider audience.
Dr. Van Sant and Deborah Cribbs, amazing information. You must come back again when you have any new updates or any breakthroughs. We really appreciate it. And thank you all for listening to this very informative Rappaport to the Rescue.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.